Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you it was going to be a fun Wednesday, and we are having fun here for a Wednesday. Lots of serious business to do, but it doesn't mean we can't have a little fun. This hour, we're joined by Rose Sweet, one of our favorite people around here at Catholic Answers, and not just because she brings us candy before the show. However, I am suspicious that you may have tried to do me off with that candy before the show. I don't know if you were listening, but some of that candy that Rose gave me lodged in my throat while I was speaking to Father Serpa. And I don't know. I've never actually had to go from 1 hour of the show and then the next hour be on with someone who just tried to murder me.
Well, I wanted you to have the beatific vision as quickly as possible. So
I would like my children to get through college at the least before the beatific vision. Rose, by the way, is a leading expert on pastoral issues surrounding divorce, separation, Catholic annulment, remarriage, blended families. She's a wonderful speaker, and you should have her speak at your event. The first time I ever saw Rose speak absolutely blew my mind. And I just wished my daughters were there with me when I heard that talk. She's the author of a whole bunch of books, including Dear God, Send Me a Soulmate, Healing the Divorced Heart, Rebuilding After Divorce, How to Make Your House a Home Again. And you got a new book coming out, but I don't know when.
Yes, I'm so excited. Right after Thanksgiving. It's the first in a little series of books. It's called The Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness.
Oh, how great. And the first one is – that's the title of the first
that's
one
the
or that's the title of
the first
series?
One. That's okay. And the second one is Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, and I'm 90% finished writing that. So I'm very excited.
I'm getting that for my wife.
No, it's for you.
It's for me to show you.
No, you know, and there's
yeah,
a lot
I know
of,
what you mean.
There's a lot of Catholic apologetics in these books because really our desire for happiness and love and all that stuff takes us right back to Jesus Christ.
I have to say, as an evangelizing strategy, it seems to me that the most obvious thing about the modern world is that people feel overwhelmed and unhappy much of the time. And if you can begin with, do you know Jesus really wants you to be happy? Like, it's not about imposing rules on you or crushing you or something. It's about there is real happiness to be had in the relationship with Jesus.
Well, here's what I've learned, sadly, is to leave Jesus out of the initial conversation. And I
hate to have to say that, but
what is it that you're not getting that would make you happy? What are the deepest desires of your heart? Right. And that's the deeper I get into my own faith, I realize ours is a religion of desire.
Yes, amen, sister. I'm with you.
If we can tap into the deepest desires, then we go, well, he's right over there.
Yeah, there he is, right. And I think you're right because there's a certain way in which even the name of Jesus is so profaned and tossed about sometimes by people who are making a lot of money off that name on TV preachers who are and all that. And people are just, many people are very wary of the name of Jesus.
I like what Peter Kraft said in his little book called Jesus Shock, that at a cocktail party, if everybody's talking, if you want to make everybody shut up, just say the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boop. Right. But there is power in that name. Mm-hmm. But often that power, I mean, I do think it's a trick of the enemy to in our minds, to turn that power against the name to where we're afraid of it or we're I'm not sure about this person who wants to talk to me about Jesus. But
isn't this interesting that we started out the first hour today is the Holy Feast of the Name of Mary?
Yeah, right.
And now we're talking about the Holy Name of Jesus.
Yeah.
There is something beautiful about somebody's name.
Yes, right.
Somebody's name.
What if their name was Rose Sweet?
Exactly.
That's what you wanted me to
That's
say.
That's exactly.
I know where you're going. Rose Sweet. I'm on to your tricks.
Okay.
If you have questions about divorce, separation, annulment, today is your day to call. Marriage questions, questions about what the church teaches and what the church has to offer you as far as marriage goes. Rose is the person to talk to. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Maybe you've gone through a divorce and you would like to know your situation, your standing with the church, or maybe you have an annulment. Maybe you're just struggling in your marriage. All of those calls are welcome for Rose. 888-318-7884. You prepared me for this show, Rose, by giving me 5 points to review, and I want to review those with you if I may.
Let's do it.
All right. First of all, you told me that you from Humanae Vitae, which we talked about so much this summer because it was the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, we can draw a lot of the principles about Christian marriage.
Right. And to understand what the church really teaches about separation, divorce, annulment, remarriage, we have to go back to marriage. What is it really? Where does it point? What's it all about? So Humanae Vitae is really, it's not just about contraception. It's really about the beauty of marriage.
All right. So what do you get out? What do you pull out of Humanae Vitae? Give me one.
Okay. So the first thing that people need to realize it, when they're looking at your marriage and it might be falling apart do we have a valid marriage or not, is first of all, marriage is visible and invisible.
Okay.
Because we're visible and invisible.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So
I'm with you. Yep.
There's a visible component and there's an invisible component. So when two people stand at the altar and exchange consent and say, I do, there's a visible, audible component. But in the invisible realm, did a real marriage bond come into being when they said, I do?
I see. Okay. So just because the visible thing happened, it doesn't mean that the whole act happened.
The whole thing. Right. Exactly. Right. And sometimes we say what looked like a wedding or what looked like a marriage may have just been a wedding ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid. That's a sad and horrible thing for anybody to have to say, because we assume everybody goes in with the best of intents and hopes and dreams. But sadly, we are in a broken world, and the church is open to getting to the truth of the matter. So point number one, marriage is both visible and invisible. There's invisible and visible components.
Do you know, this is something that I think is a Christian contribution to the world, especially to women, this idea that you can't just make an external act and therefore you're married, that a woman has to give her consent in Christian marriage because that internal invisible part has to be. But that throughout most of human history, people would have thought a woman give her consent. Her father decides, or her husband decides, and that's it.
Well, you're right. Consent was always exchanged, but sometimes it was through the father.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. But there does have to be that consent. Okay, so number two, marriage is God's design. It's not a social construct. Man didn't make it up to protect property rights or to ensure the perpetuation of the species. It's God's design, and it points the way man and woman love each other and come together completely. It's a sign that points to something higher, and it's the way God loves his people.
Tell me a little bit more about that. God loves his people, like, in a marital way?
No, God doesn't love in a marital way. Our marital way reflects something of the way God loves us. So instead of bringing God down to marriage, we bring marriage up to the divine realm.
Right, and God loves with total self-giving.
Right.
Like, which is outrageous when you think about it.
It is, right.
That's what the cross is.
Right.
Total self-giving for others.
Even if it hurts. Even if it means some kind of a death. Right. So marriage is visible and invisible. Marriage is God's design because it's a picture of how he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, marriage has certain marks. So
mine does.
I see the whip marks on the back of your shirt.
I have some scars on.
I know. So
that's only a joke, dear. In case she's listening.
Just don't bring my husband into it. We'll be in big trouble.
Your husband.
I know.
We won't.
Okay. So if our marriages are supposed to look like and be like and be caught up into a kind of a marriage the way that God loves his people,
mm-hmm.
the way that Jesus loves the church,
right?
It has to bear those same marks. It has to be like, it's not counterfeit. So how does Jesus love the church? And I love this comes through the documents of the church. Humanae Vitae talks about these four marks. Love and Responsibility by St. John Paul II, Theology of the Body, these four marks of an authentic marriage.
Which, I'm sorry, what's that made me? There's four marks of the church as well that make it the authentic church.
So, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Well,
And the four evangelists?
Four.
Well, yes.
And the four stooges. Okay,
you know,
no, I see what you're saying. No, that was not right. But
no, but we can't.
But like, you know that it's the Catholic Church because it has these marks. It's one, it's holy. It's Catholic and it's apostolic. Okay. That's Christ Church.
Okay.
So what are the marks of marriage that says that's marriage?
If a relationship is an authentic, if an authentic marriage bond is going to come into being, it has to be free, full, faithful, and fruitful. Everybody should memorize that and teach it to your kids.
It's not that hard to memorize because they all start with F.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that.
I did. And it's so easy. And it's a good litmus test. Okay, so every marriage, you have to be free to say yes. So what if somebody proposed to me, but they just wanted me for my money? They're enslaved to money, to their fear of money.
Oh.
Or you don't get married because you need a green card.
Do you have a lot of money, Beth? No, sorry. I'm sorry. I got off topic. Okay. Sorry.
I would be on a cruise right now if I had a lot of money.
You don't get married. Right. So if there's some other reason that you want to contract this marriage with me other than me.
Right. No. So the lack of freedom means that you're enslaved to some kind of an agenda.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm 36 and my eggs are drying up and I need kids. So I'm going to marry you because nobody else is asking me.
Right.
That's not marriage. There's no freedom there. You may intend to have a life together where you have sex and share a mortgage.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean an authentic marriage bond comes into being when you say I do.
Okay.
If that lack of freedom is there, on one or both sides, free, full, faithful, fruitful, complete and total self-giving. Okay? Nothing held back.
Mm-hmm.
99% of prenups.
Oh.
Automatically invalidate.
It can't be a valid marriage with a prenup because you're not giving yourself to the other person.
You're not completely giving everything that you have and that you are
right.
to the other person. There are conditions is another way of not full. I will love you and stay with you as long as you stay slim or you make enough money. That's not a full and total gift of self.
Yeah.
So free, full, faithful. And we all know about sexual fidelity, but fidelity is so much more than that. It's like, who is number one in my heart other than God?
Mm, right.
Is it my mother still? Is it my father? Or even is it our children? Who sits in the number one position in my heart?
That's what it means to be faithful to a spouse.
Yes. Authentic fidelity. Mm-hmm. Free, full, faithful, and then finally fruitful. Open to life. Again, that ties into nothing held back. When we make love and when we're doing that, the marital act, we're speaking our wedding vows with our body. It's body language for renewing our vows.
Right. And if we're putting barriers or whatever they are then to life, then we're... this always comes up, so I just want to ask you real quickly. What about the person who has an almost certainty that they are infertile, that they can't physically produce children? How's that person fruitful in the sex act?
Okay, remember when we talked about fidelity being much broader than just sexual fidelity? Well, saying fruitfulness also has a much broader meaning. But the thing is to not purposefully and intentionally cut off the marital act from fruitfulness.
Mm-hmm.
If you get in a car accident or if you're born infertile, you haven't intentionally thwarted and blocked that act. That's
I wasn't aware
thing.
That car accidents make you infertile. Oh, you're saying in some instance. Oh, I thought you...
Yeah.
It sounded automatic there when you said it. Sorry, Rose.
Okay, we won't go there. But okay, hopefully you and the listeners get the gist. The teachings of the church really respond to the deepest desires of our heart.
Right.
We all want, when we get married, we want that kind of love. We want that other person to love us freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully.
Yeah.
If something is gravely missing there, it's a relationship, but it's not marriage.
If you'd like to talk about that with Rose, 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer the spelled version. We got a big conference coming up. You and I always have fun when I see you at the conference. Will you be there this year?
I love the Catholic Answers Conference. Let me just say, and I am not getting paid for this, you have the best apologists in the country there. You have wonderful guests. There's a vibrant energy of people who are on fire for the faith.
There's intellectual
conversations, casual, fun conversations.
Right.
Plenty of alcohol because we're Catholics. Right?
Did you have to? Yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah, we have fun.
We have a great time.
Man, do you learn stuff. And now you told me you're looking forward to seeing Cardinal Burke.
I can't wait to meet Cardinal Burke.
Yeah, and he'll be giving the keynote at the conference dinner. And I think we have 56 tickets left, or it's maybe even less than 56. I don't know. Erica's not here with us right now, but
San Diego is so beautiful at this time of the year. You know, to get away, make this a special time, like a little mini retreat. Go get filled up with beautiful Catholic, everything wonderful Catholic. I love it. I can't wait.
At CatholicAnswersConference.com is where you go to sign up. CatholicAnswersConference.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
We do our best to keep you, well, connected to all the events happening in our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, from Rome to back home here in the U.S. and around the globe. It's also our goal to help each and every listener like you take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, having more fun than I should be allowed to have with Rose Sweet, one of my favorite guests around here. And I'm not getting you one of my favorite speakers. And you know what? I say that, but then how does someone get you to come talk if they want you to come talk somewhere?
Just call me on the phone or go to my website, rosesweet.com, and send me an email. And let's talk about what you need. And I'd love to come and love on your people and get them all excited about the Catholic faith.
RoseSweet.com. And that really is her real name. We're talking about divorce, annulments, remarriage, all these marital things today with Rose, and that is her field. We'll start with Lori in New York, listening on 88.1 FM. Lori, your question for Rose Sweet.
Rose, I first just want to say I've admired you for a long time, met you through an earlier divorce recovery program that you were part of, and I know it benefited you and I know it benefited me. But I would love to know the name of you have a new divorce care type ministry that is Catholic based. Am I correct?
Yes, Lori. Hi, nice to talk to you. It's called Surviving Divorce, Hope and Healing for the Catholic Family. And it's available through Ascension Press, which is ascensionpress.com.
Okay.
Right.
Wonderful. I have done the other facilitated the other program for a very long time, but am really feeling that it leaves a lot of pieces out.
So are we talking about the Protestant program Divorce Care?
Yes.
Okay. I would love to give a shout out to them because they're 25 years ahead of us in many ways, and their beautiful program is very Christ-centered and helped me in my journey and my healing and led me right to Jesus. But I also recognize the missing gaps about the fullness of truth that we have in the Catholic Church. And because of them and their inspiration, it led me to create our Catholic program. So I'm eternally thankful and happy that you've been facilitating that group. So come on over. Cross the Tiber.
Yeah, I've been on this side of the Tiber for a long time and would cross over to the other side to do divorce care.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm sick of crossing the Tiber. I want to do it on this side now.
Okay, good. Well, you know what? Jesus is both places, but everything that he has for us is in surviving divorce. So, Lori, keep in touch and send me an email if you ever need any help.
Absolutely. I do want to try and get it started in my parish. So, just couldn't remember the name of what it was.
Great. Lori, thank you so much for that call and for the opportunity to share Rose's latest work. Giovanni is up next in Washington State. Giovanni, your question for Rose.
Yes, Rose, I married this lady, and she was married to the Catholic Church first, and then she got divorced, and she married again, and she got divorced, and then it was my third marriage. I mean, her third marriage with me. I got married to Sibyl.
Yes.
My situation is I got two daughters with her, 9 and 11, and she just got married again.
Okay.
So when she separated from me, 2 months later, she was dating another guy already, and she didn't marry the person, and I really worry about my kids. I do not want to get married. Probably this is the cross that I need to carry for some time. But I don't want to bring more pain to my kids. I don't really worry about the kids because they live with her.
That's a tough one. Giovanni, I'm just going to repeat it real quick to make sure Rose and I are on the same page as far as that. His wife married four times. He was the third marriage. They had two daughters together. They divorced. She's married to a fourth man. He says he wants to bear his cross, does not want to be married, but he wants what's best for his daughters. Any help you can give him.
Okay, that's great. And of course, we can't solve all your problems in this short phone call, but I'll tell you this. Good for you for not wanting to jump into another relationship and focus instead on being a good dad. That's your primary duty right now. Number two, I don't know the ages of your daughters, but talk to them. Don't worry too much about, in a certain sense, about what your ex-wife is doing or not doing. Focus on the girls and what their mental, emotional, and spiritual needs are. Stay close with them. Spend time with them. Talk to them. If you need a good Catholic counselor for them, find a good Catholic counselor. Ask them what their fears and hopes and dreams are. Try to ask them to open up and share their heart with you. When they know they can come to Dad and talk about anything and not get judged and criticized and shamed, that will be a beautiful gift that you can give to your girls. And if you need any other help, please send me an email, and we can continue some discussion later if you need that.
Okay, Giovanni?
Yes, thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, Giovanni.
Just so you know where to get in touch with Rose, if you do want to do that, rosesuite.com is her website, and then you can get all that information there. Thank you so much for that call, Giovanni. We go now to Teresa in New York, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. Teresa, your question for Rose.
Hi, Rose. My husband and I met mid-40s, midlife. I had a civil marriage and divorce. He had a church-blessed marriage and civil divorce, both of us when we were young. We've met again, and we're just starting the process of annulment. And I have a question, which I'm sure I can ask tomorrow. He's meeting with the facilitator, I guess you call him. His ex-wife is a civil ex-wife. Has emotional problems. They married after dating 3 months when she became pregnant. Now, I think according to what I've read, I'm trying to find out as much information as I can, a marriage, you were talking about it being free, entry into the marriage freely. Does the church consider that? My husband isn't sure if they would have married had she not gotten pregnant. He did the right thing, but it was not a very good marriage in many, many ways. So my question to you is, now she has emotional problems. She seems to have matured, but there were suicide attempts, suicide threats. She will have to be notified, that's my question, by the church, correct?
Yeah, you know, Teresa, if you don't mind, you have a lot of good questions. Can I just take it from the top there because they're all worthy of consideration? Number one, yes. In general, I can't speak particularly to your situation because I don't have enough information. But in general, when somebody dates a very short period of time and there's a pregnancy, that tends to point to a lack of freedom. There's a fear of social outcast, a fear of family being outcast, a fear of providing for the child. That fear can come in and impede the freedom to choose, and then also, you know, rushing. So that certainly does tend to indicate possibility for grounds for nullity. But continue, as you have been, it sounds like you have been, to educate yourself. Both of you learn what the grounds for annulment are and understand them, you know, completely as before you proceed. Otherwise, when you present your evidence, if it doesn't speak specifically to the grounds, it may be a lot of wasted typed paperwork that doesn't really get you anywhere. Make sure that you are speaking with at the parish or the diocesan level spends a lot of time asking a lot of questions and explains everything to you thoroughly, so that you understand. And third, yes, it's a matter of justice that both people who attempt a marriage be notified when the church comes in to take a look at that marriage. They both parties deserve the right to know that and to participate either in the process in the defending of the marriage bond or in the petitioning for the decree of nullity. So that's what I love about the church process. It's not you're the good one, you're the bad one. It's you're both worthy of dignity and honor, and your marriage bond is upheld, and we will uphold it until proven otherwise. We will work with you, and we are open to helping both of you.
She went through a sterility process right after the birth of the boy. I don't know that my husband was aware of it. He may have been, but there was no stopping it.
There's probably a lot more to come, but, you know, send me an email if you have any other questions, and I'm happy to help. Keep up the good work.
Rose Sweet, thank you so much, Teresa, for that call. Rose Sweet is our guest this afternoon. We are talking marriage, divorce, remarriage, annulment, blended families, all those things. If you have questions in that realm, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer the spelled version. Right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine. Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked five distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from five perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at catholic.com.
When you say congratulations, do you really mean it?
Or is it just a proper sentiment to send?
Your responses will reveal quite a bit about yourself.
Let's talk about it on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now, let's return to Cy Kellett and Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet here in studio. What else do you need to say? You know you're having a good day when you say Rose Sweet here in studio. Our number, 888-318-7884. Lots and lots of calls about marriage, divorce, annulments for Rose. So let's just continue with those. Let's go to Jane in New Jersey, listening on 89.3 FM. Jane, your question for Rose.
Hi. My son is married to a divorced woman. But this divorced woman originally married a man who said he was transgender, and now this man is wearing female clothes and heaven knows what else. My question is, would there be grounds for an annulment, do you think, if the original marriage was with a transgender man? I guess my son and this his new wife, I guess they're afraid to try for an annulment lest it wouldn't pan out correctly for them. So they're just not trying at all, which breaks my heart entirely. But nevertheless, my question is, would the original man in the original marriage who who turns out to be a transgender and is now wearing female clothes, et cetera, would that be enough of a grounds for an annulment? Because he wasn't who he was presenting himself to be, really?
Okay, Jane, this is a great question. First of all, I'm sorry about this, but keep praying for, you know, your family, and maybe I can help after the show to talk to them. But anyway, annulment is about the day you got married, when the husband and the wife stand in front of each other and before the witness of the church, exchange consent and make this promise to live freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully with each other. Either a marriage bond came into being right then, or it did not. And that's really the focus of the investigation during the annulment process. So years later, if the husband comes out as transgender, that indicates usually that there was some seed of that or something back on the day of consent, if it can be shown that it was existing or coming out or he was struggling with it on that day, then certainly that could be grounds for annulment. Now, and again, I can't say specifically because I don't have much more information. But anything that happens weird and unusual and disordered like that in the marriage needs to be pointed back to the time of consent. And let me give you a quick example. Let's say a husband had an affair 10 years into the marriage. Infidelity doesn't invalidate a marriage bond. But if that we found out that that same guy was unfaithful while he was dating his fiance, and even, like, you know, went around the corner the day after the wedding or the wedding rehearsal with the best, with the bridesmaid, or and then a year later had an affair with the secretary, if there was a string or a pattern of infidelity, that certainly could point to an inability to be faithful. So there's the difference. Fidelity one time or down the road may not be grounds for annulment, but if it can be shown to be part of a pattern present at the time of consent. I know this is a long answer. So the transgender thing, too, it needs to be tied back to the time of consent. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, good.
So is there a way to prove that if a person, if this man thought he was a transgender now, like 10 years ago, he would have almost biologically be thinking towards that way?
There's so many.
Maybe try to give a normal.
Jane, there's a lot of different ways to approach this, and the door, don't close the door on it. Keep learning more about it. Please email me through my website, and let's continue the discussion. I would like to help.
Thank you, Jane. And the website is rosesweet.com. We go now to Sydney in South Bend. I assume that's in Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Sydney, your question for Rose.
Lot, and I agree with Cy. You are terrific, and so is Cy. My question is that, looking around, I see the two big impediments or problems in second marriages being money, and frequently inheritance, and children, you know, stepchildren. And I sometimes don't see a big difference between people I know that have annulments and are in a second marriage and other people that, you know, are not even Catholic and are in second marriages. So how does an annulled sacramental second marriage help to overcome the sort of inherent problems of a second marriage? Is that clear?
Yes, it is, Sydney. Thank you for that. Okay, so let me repeat. In other words, you see the same kind of people with annulment and without annulment struggling with the same issues, right?
Yes.
Okay. So those issues are not going to go away. But here's the beauty of a sacrament. It gives us an extra, I call it the holy B12 shot, of powerful graces to help us learn how to love one another, to think in right order, to put our priorities in right order, to sacrifice for the greater good of another one. In other words, to really think things through and to live a good life and to be holy. That's always going to help people address stepkids and money and college tuition and any other stressor in a marriage. So really, the bottom line is extra grace helps us with the extra problems.
That's extremely helpful.
Okay, good.
All right, thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Sydney. And that grace is particularly found in the sacraments, that we, if we're living the sacramental life. I think sometimes, I say that, Rose, because I think sometimes we've been a little bit Protestantized in our faith, and we don't realize the sacraments actually have power. They're not just signs and symbols. They are that, but they actually have power to bring grace in its fullness into our life.
Yes, through the visible means and the words and the matter, something really happens in the invisible realm.
Yeah.
The natural and the supernatural come together, and we become on fire. We're able to love and to overcome sinful tendencies.
Amen.
It's real. It's real.
Right, right. Let's go to Joe in Atlanta. It says listening on Echo, and I don't know what that is. Joe, maybe that's the radio station. Joe in Atlanta?
No, actually, it's one of those Amazon things, so I'm listening to EWTN.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Amazon.
That's how my parents listen.
Yes.
They just tell Alexa, put Psy on. No, they don't say that.
Well, you know, wherever I can find Catholic radio, I go to it. So I listen
good
in my
girl.
Car.
Oh, cool, Joe. Yeah.
Here. So, anyway, so my question is, I got married 25 years ago, almost 26 now, when I was a fallen away Catholic. And I married a man who was not Catholic, but had been married in the Catholic Church. So we have a wonderful marriage. He had two children from his first marriage. We were not able to have children, so we have none. The more I've gotten back into my Catholic faith, and now I call myself a very strong Catholic, trying my best to be, we went and saw my pastor about what we could do. Could we get an annulment? My husband's first wife, who he married in the Catholic Church, he was married a second time too, but she was very open to it. She said, yes, whatever I have to do to support you guys, happy to do it. We went and saw my parish priest, and he said, you know, let me take this away. I'll get back with you. And when he came back to us, he said, I've talked to some people who know this process, and I don't think you need to go through that process. I will bless your marriage privately. And he did that with just the two of us there, but I feel like that's not right. I feel like there's something that's missing, that there's probably more to it than that. Everything I'm learning about my faith,
Good girl.
Without getting into too much, I just wanted to see if that's correct.
Okay, good girl. Here's the beautiful thing about today. You can go on the internet, you can Google, you can use Alexa, you can find out what the church really teaches about what makes authentic marriage. So you don't have to be dependent on a priest or a nun or even me to know what the truth is. So here's the truth. There are many priests, God love them, who want to be kind and loving and don't want you to be uncomfortable or put you through any difficult situations and want you to feel loved. And when they do what this priest did, they deprive you of the fullness of grace and they deprive you of sanctity. Here's the truth. You are not married in the eyes of the church. And I think at some level you understand that, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
okay,
good, good. And that doesn't take away from the fact that you're a good person and your husband is a good person and you love each other. But right now you are not married and you do need to go through the annulment process and you need somebody smart who will spend lots of time with you, explain things to you, ask a lot of questions, and walk you through the entire process to get you where you need to go. In the meantime, you may approach Jesus in the sacraments if you and your husband understand and agree to not continue having marital relations and, you know, living your that marriage because you're not married and reserving that for authentic marriage and living as brother and sister. You can love each other in a lot of different ways, you know, watching Netflix and taking a walk. But you reserve marital acts for an authentic marriage. Then you get down and you start the annulment process and you go to confession and you confess doing things your own way and not going to the church. And then you receive Jesus in the sacraments and you take the high path. And couples who do this have renewed trust for each other, respect for each other, and you help each other carry your cross to holiness. So this is these are tough sayings, and you're not alone, Joe. I am here, email, phone call, whatever, after the show to help you, to talk to your husband, to explain things, and to walk you through the process. Does that make sense?
It does, and I kind of guessed that was the case. Thank you so much, Rose. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'll pray for you, Joe.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the Church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet, our guest. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about divorce. We're talking about annulments. And Rose can help you with those questions. If you've got them, give us a call, 888-31-TRUTH. But Rose, I asked our assistant producer, Marie, to come in here because we need to help you with something. If you're not a member of Radio Club, Rose...
I am. Oh. I pay $18 a month, the best 18 bucks I ever spent in my life. Anything else?
Well, this is going to really bum Rose out then because we're letting people in free now.
What? Yeah.
I wish I hadn't started with Rose.
Gee.
But we really appreciate the 18 bucks a month, though, Rose.
Rose's face right now. And Rose brought us chocolate today. So it's double whammy.
All right, tell us about Radio Club. Marie, tell us how you get to be a part of it.
So Radio Club is kind of our online community for all of you people who listen in every day. We're so grateful for you. And every week, Cy writes you a personal letter. They're humorous. Sometimes they're serious. But either way, he reaches out. And included in the email that you get are sometimes some free MP3s or book promos, and it's definitely worth having, and it kind of gives you the best of the best highlights from the previous week. So I definitely recommend that you sign up for it. You can text Radio Club, all one word, to 44222. 44222. Everybody's signaling me in the booth right now. Anyway, so yeah, join Radio Club, and it's been such a great way for us to get to know people a little better, because if you reach out via email through the Radio Club, we get to chat with you and you get to ask questions. And
we got a new thing we're going to do too, and you didn't mention it. Maybe you were saving it, but I want to mention it to entice people to come, that we're going to start asking specifically Radio Club to help us to improve the show by having a survey question each week. And it'll be one where you just click a button and give us an answer about what's working and what's not working on the show, what we can do better. And so we really value you as a member of Radio Club, and we hope you'll join. Dial 4422.
44222. Three twos.
Okay. I apologize. I should just let you do it. Go ahead. Do the
no,
whole thing.
Just text Radio Club to 44222.
44222.
Or go to CatholicAnswersLive.com. Also would be fine.
.com.
All
there,
right.
You see how hard it is for Marie working with me, Rose?
It really is a blast.
Okay. All right. Out of here. Out. Marie, thank you for encouraging people to join Radio Club. Lots and lots of calls for you, Rose, so we better go back to them.
Do I have to send my $18 a month?
You just keep sending that $18 a month there, Rose. Anonymous, you are up next. Do I have you on the line, Anonymous?
Yes.
Okay, your question for Rose.
Alrighty. So
I am dating this girl who is Protestant, and I'm Catholic. And we're getting to the point in our relationship where we're getting ready to discuss marriage. We haven't done that quite yet. And our differences in belief have been a large strain on our relationship. And so when we get to that discussion, I want to make sure that we address it in the best way possible. And I just don't know exactly what kind of things I need to be aware of. And maybe along with that, there's some things that we can try to do in our relationship to bring each other closer together, because we really do care about each other and get along very well, except for when these denominational differences come up.
Oi, okay, Anonymous. Here's a big clue that you're only dating and you haven't even talked about marriage, and already the differences are a quote-unquote large strain. Hold that thought, because when I was single, dating Protestant men, they loved Jesus. I didn't think anything was wrong. It is a terrible cross to carry when you're in a marriage and you don't share your faith with your partner, with your spouse. And you can, it's not impossible, but why bring a large strain into it? I would definitely ask her if she would be willing to attend RCIA with you, or a mini version of RCIA, or find some good Catholic conference, or somebody to guide you, like have her make a list of her top 10 objections to Catholicism. Have her start listening to Catholic Answers. Seriously, you learn so much on the radio. But I think that you shouldn't even proceed further unless you can iron this out. I'm telling you, I have lived it. It is a hard, hard road. And you can love each other and genuinely care about a lot of different people. I mean, but that doesn't mean that you have what it takes for an authentic, healthy, holy marriage. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I've been there. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. And I mean, I don't know, I guess I'm a little biased, but we've made some great strides in terms of better understanding and coming to, I don't know if it's more of an acceptance or just coming to terms with how our beliefs are different. And we've been able to jump through a lot of hoops and barriers. But I think marriage is going to be one thing that is going to be very difficult to discuss. And we just haven't done that yet.
Okay, here's another thing too. Down the road, and here's the nature of our faith. God is always calling all of us to go into more deeper intimacy with Him. Where you are in your faith today is not where God wants you to be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. He's going to be wooing your heart deeper and deeper into His mysteries. And hopefully with grace, you will say yes and you will go there. The farther you go away from each other, if she's not going with you, at least on some level, it's not just hoops and barriers and strain. It could be thoughts of divorce. And I'm not saying that for you guys. I'm just saying so many people have been through this. So be prudent and get on your knees and ask our Lord's guidance and go slow. But, you know, get right to the nitty gritty. I love lists. Have her make a list of the top 10 things that she's afraid of or she doesn't believe or she's worried about. And maybe you guys could talk about those things.
Anonymous?
Okay. Oh. Sounds good.
All right. It's hard to hear. I know. I mean, having struggled a great deal in my marriage, you know, my wife wasn't a baptized Christian when we got married. And the thing that I think he doesn't realize is that you often, like you said, you become more serious in your faith. And there was a point in our marriage where my wife had to say to me, look, I didn't change. You changed. And
right.
She was right. She wasn't wrong.
Right, right, right.
And she is a Catholic now, but that was at her own time, at her own pace. The difficulty, I just don't think, it's very hard when you're young to have anybody tell you, that's going to be harder than you think, and to go, yeah, oh, I take your word for it, Rose, sweet.
Well, I didn't listen myself, yeah. You know, and I made a lot of mistakes, right.
Right, right. Okay, let's go to Mike in Albany, New York, listening on WOPG. You are up next. Mike, your question for Rose Sweet.
Rose, I got to say that St. Thomas More must be spinning in his grave. Just
I can't get how the Catholic Church from prior to Vatican II went to maybe 30, 40 annulments over the period of a couple years to over 50,000 a year. It can't be correct. It just can't be right. I don't get that. The church was so cautious in guarding. That's what made us Catholic. We fought and fought and fought. I've been divorced, not by my own choice, for 10 years, and I'll never seek to slap Christ in the face by... It's not right. I know I made a bad choice, but I was married in a Catholic ceremony, and she left. And it just can't be right, all this annulment stuff. I don't get it. We're no better than the Protestants in this anymore. Henry VIII must be celebrating every time he hears of this. It's just, it's wife after wife after...
Was Henry VIII married more than once?
I cannot understand how the church could guard marriage for so long and then just throw it all away.
All right, Rose, your response to Mike.
Okay, Mike, I certainly think I do understand where you're coming from. And if you're open, I will give you my best shot. The church has remained ever cautious and ever strongly supporting of every marriage bond as being valid until proven otherwise. A lot of different things have happened. It's not that the church has all of a sudden granted all these annulments. It's that people have more than ever wrongly entered marriage, failed in marriage, and sought the assistance of the church in taking a look at what happened to their failed marriages. So I use this example. Have you ever heard of cancer clusters in a certain area?
Yes, yeah, right.
So let's say the water in a certain town was poisoned and nobody knew it. And all of a sudden, everybody started getting cancer in that town. So the team of doctors goes in and they start identifying, after all these tests, cancer, cancer, and stamping all these cases, cancer, 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 cancer. It's not that the doctors are overdoing it and issuing all these cancer certifications. It's that there's a real problem that has, you know, bust wide open, and it's not normal and it's not usual. So in our culture, Mike, we have people, look at around you. People are getting married for all the wrong reasons. People are so narcissistic and self-centered, they don't intend to stay married. Most people who get married today think they have a right to divorce if things are unhappy. Right away, that invalidates their marriage bond. If you get married believing that you have the right and the option to divorce if you're not happy, you are not entering freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully, and therefore, there's no valid marriage bond there. So it's a genuine concern you have, and let me affirm it, but it is not the fault of the church. The church, I work in tribunals all around the country, and we have some of the best people and the brightest minds who are devoted to upholding the truth of our faith and canon law and marriage bonds. But the deeper you dig. I know. What's in this? The deeper you dig into these cases and you go, oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Transgenderism. Oh, my Lord. Addiction. You know, oh, my Lord. Sex addiction. Oh, my Lord. This and that. And you say, this can't possibly be marriage. That's the tragedy.
Mike, I want to give you a second to respond. We're short of time, but does that...
Well, I just think it's for better or for worse. I mean, sex addiction, you work through it. And you. I mean, it is a bond. I could not ever think of having an annulment if I have a living wife. I know she's, you know, it's just...
You are exactly right. You can work through addictions. You can work through some of those things, but not in every case. And we can't put a blanket over everybody. Every case is unique and deserves examination for the truth.
Mike, thank you so much for the call. It's inspiring to hear someone defend marriage so strongly.
Yes.
But it is also the case, I do think, that the sexual revolution wreaked havoc on our society. And just as within the church, just as much as without of the church.
Yeah.
And so the church can't just turn its head and go, nope, you're all stuck.
Right.
Now,
right.
We have to find the truth in each particular case.
Exactly.
Rose Sweet, I love it when you're here. Thanks for coming.
Oh, it went too fast, didn't it?
It did. It goes really fast. But we'll see you in a couple weeks at the big
conference.
Giant Catholic Answers Conference.
I can't wait.
Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. Any question you have on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church is welcome. If you're Catholic, you're welcome to call. If you're not Catholic, you're welcome to call. If you're a sede vacantist, you're welcome to call. I just wanted to say the word show. I just want to show off in front of you, Rose, that I can say the word.
Did you say something?
We'll see you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.